what we wanted to tell, but sometimes the important things for you, it's what your life is more important than what it could have been.
It's not a gay movie. It's not only for a gay audience, but it's for everybody, you know.
From the mist you called me,
the only one who could ever reach me was a son of a preacher man.
She's on top of the charts in heavy rotation.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Amnesty International details global anti-queer abuse in a first-of-its-kind report. The Gaelic gay couple behind The Adventures of Felix makes both movies and a life together. And Explore Avalon, go inside out, and examine the fine print in new words and music from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Donald Herman.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 23rd, 2001. British-based human rights watchdog Amnesty International this week released an extensive report on the abuse and torture of gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders around the world. The first-of-its-kind report called Crimes of Hate, Conspiracy of Silence documents cases of physical, sexual, and psychiatric abuse in 30 countries and reviews anti-gay laws and even more. It notes that 70 countries criminalize homosexual acts, with 8 applying the death penalty. Amnesty called for prohibition of discrimination based on sexual orientation and for asylum for gays and lesbians at risk for torture in their homelands. It also called for banning treatments purporting to change sexual orientation.
The United Nations has begun its own collection of data on gay, lesbian, and transgender human rights issues. In early June, the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights issued a call from a half dozen of its independent experts for groups around the world to contact them. Those experts, who have broad powers to address national governments, are appointed to investigate human rights violations and report on them to the UN each year. This is the first time that such a high-level group at the UN has moved publicly to take on issues of sexual orientation and gender identity as part of their mandate.
Yet the UN this week withdrew its invitation to the only gay and lesbian group that was to appear at its upcoming meeting on AIDS. The International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission had been scheduled to participate in the Human Rights Roundtable at the UN General Assembly special session on HIV/AIDS. But 11 Muslim nations objected, even though the UN's own AIDS program's annual report had identified sexual minorities among vulnerable populations at high risk for HIV/AIDS. European nations, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, are leading a move for Eaglehurst's reinstatement. But the official declaration, intended as a guideline for action on AIDS by the UN and its member nations, has also so far been blocked by Islamic nations and the Vatican, which object to a section calling for special attention to gay men, sex workers, and intravenous drug users. The Japanese delegation is trying to mediate this controversy. The religious groups view the statement as tolerance of sex outside of marriage, and an Iranian ambassador claimed that Western nations were seeking to push the envelope in areas where there is cultural sensitivity, ideological sensitivity, ethical sensitivity. New York-based Human Rights Watch commented that pretending these groups don't exist or reinforcing discrimination against them will only accelerate the spread of the epidemic by pushing them farther underground and out of reach of the services they desperately need to contain the disease.
Romania's government this week took another step towards establishing equal treatment for gays and lesbians in hopes of winning membership in the European Union. The latest move in the long-running struggle for civil rights there is an emergency decree seeking to equalize sentencing for sex acts in public places. Currently, homosexual acts in public places can be punished with up to 5 years imprisonment, while heterosexual acts carry a maximum sentence of only 2 years. 117 Romanians are currently incarcerated for homosexual acts. The public sex ban is said to be the last discriminatory criminal law in Romania. Equal sentencing will have to be approved by the Romanian parliament.
Another former Iron Curtain country also moved for equal treatment in June, as Estonia's parliament adopted a new penal code equalizing the age of consent at 14. Formerly, the age of consent had been 14 for heterosexual acts, but 16 for homosexual ones. The age of consent law had been the only Estonian statute explicitly discriminating based on sexual orientation. The new code was adopted with only one vote in opposition and will take effect in about a year. However, the new code's provisions on discrimination and incitement to violence do not include sexual orientation as a protected category.
In the U.S., the American Medical Association this week adopted a resolution denouncing anti-gay discrimination by the Boy Scouts of America and other youth groups. The AMA views gay exclusionary policies as bad public health policy that contributes to mental health problems among youth.
Washington, D.C.'s City Commission on Human Rights also took aim at the Boy Scouts this week, ordering the reinstatement of two adult members dismissed for being gay. The commission believes the cases of Roland Poole and Michael Geller are not subject to last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling because neither of the men had engaged in any gay-related political activity, so the Scouts' freedom of expression was not infringed. The commission ordered payment of $50,000 to each man as compensatory damages and ordered the Scouts to cease and desist from revoking of memberships of individuals solely because of their status as homosexuals.
The Texas State Supreme Court this week dismissed a legal challenge to a Houston mayoral order prohibiting sexual orientation discrimination. A city council member and a voter had charged that Mayor Lee Brown's executive order usurped the city council's authority and violated a 1985 citywide vote repealing a civil rights ordinance the city council had passed. The state's high court did not comment on the merits of the policy, but found that neither man had legal standing to challenge it.
Even the Bush administration took a first-of-its-kind step for gay and lesbian civil rights this week. The U.S. Department of Agriculture placed a job notice for a program specialist to serve as the department's gay and lesbian employment manager, the first time any administration has advertised a hire to address gay and lesbian workplace issues. The USDA's 98,000 staffers already include program specialists for the needs of women, African Americans, Latinos, Asian Americans, and indigenous peoples.
In California, gay Robert Rosencrantz has been granted parole after serving 17 years for murdering the schoolmate who outed him to his father. Rosencrantz was a model prisoner who earned advanced degrees for himself and tutored other inmates while in prison. His parole was ordered by a Los Angeles court this week after a protracted legal struggle against Democratic Governor Gray Davis' stated opposition to granting parole to any convicted murderer.
But in Oklahoma, where a gay man and a lesbian have been executed for murder this year, a man who killed a gay man has been granted a stay of execution by Governor Frank Keating. The Oklahoma Parole Board had recommended commuting the sentence of Mexican national Gerardo Valdez from death to life because he had not been advised he could seek aid from the Mexican consulate and because he is brain damaged.
On the media front, London's staid Financial Times newspaper this week rejected a rather innocuous ad from the British magazine Gay Times. Promoting Gay Times' July feature on manipulation in the pop music industry, the ad was captioned with the title of a 60s song, "Bend Me, Shape Me, Any Way You Want Me." Although it had passed several stages of copy approval, the Financial Times editor ultimately found the caption's suggestive tone would be offensive to most of their readers.
But in Canada, the Saskatchewan Human Rights Commission ruled against a man who had placed an anti-gay ad in the Saskatoon Star Phoenix newspaper 4 years ago. That ad portrayed two stick figure men holding hands inside the red circle with a slash symbol for prohibited, and listed the citations of Bible passages viewed as condemning homosexuality. The ad was placed by anti-gay activist Hugh Owens, who was ordered not to publish it again and to pay $1,500 Canadian to each of the three gay men who filed the human rights complaint.
In France, TV regulators blocked an ad purportedly denouncing homophobic harassment on the grounds that the public will see the ad itself as anti-gay. The ad was made in the UK to promote a temporary employment agency and tries to show the downside of full-time employment. The censored ad shows a boss railing against gay employees, but similar ads portraying sexist and racist employers passed muster.
What's believed to be Cuba's first gay wedding was celebrated this week. In a double ceremony, two young male couples exchanged vows before their friends and families at a recreation center in the Havana suburb of San Miguel de Padron. Although many locals had been critical of the young men, neighbors reportedly climbed up their rooftops to view the wedding.
And finally, this week Toronto named a park for George Hyslop, believed to be Canada's first public monument to a gay activist. The move to honor Hyslop with a park in Toronto's gay village was led by openly gay Toronto City Councillor Kyle Ray. Hyslop was an outspoken advocate for 30 years, making frequent media appearances in the 1960s and 70s and founding Canada's first formal gay and lesbian rights group, the Community Homophile Association of Toronto, CHAT. He led successful campaigns to make sexual orientation a category protected under Ontario and federal human rights codes and opposed police harassment. In 1979, he organized the first Pride event in Toronto, where the annual Pride Parade is now one of the world's largest. In his own estimation, Hyslop's greatest achievement was encouraging others to publicly identify themselves as gays and lesbians. He told 365gay.com, "Numbers are important. As we came out, people couldn't promote misconceptions about us anymore. They saw how many of us there are. They saw our faces and recognized their children, their neighbors, their coworkers." But George Hyslop, now in his 70s, found one problem with Hyslop Park. "The park needs bushes," he said. "What's a gay park without bushes?"
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 23rd, 2001. Written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Donald Herman.
Women's music icon Margie Adam offers Avalon, country folk fan Cam Clark goes retro with Inside Out, and Mark Islam paints lyrical portraits of some unique city dwellers in the fine print. Hear a preview of these three new CDs and comments by the musicians who recorded them later in the program. The filmmakers behind the 1998 gay musical Jean et les Garçons Formidables, or Jean and the Perfect Guy, have something new to offer. This time out, it's a classic road film with a gay Gaelic twist called Drôle de Félix, or Adventures of Felix. It's about an HIV-positive gay Arab man living in France who sets out on a journey to find the father he never knew, only to discover a lot more. This Way Out's Steve Pride chats with partnered gay co-writers, co-directors Olivier Ducastel and Jacques Martineau about making both films and a life together.
This summer, while the actor formerly known as Marky Mark fights stylish simians and Jude Law waxes philosophical with a boy toy, there is a new wave of gay-themed French cinema hitting American screens. From Sebastian Lifshitz, we'll see the drama Come Undone, and Francis Verber will deliver Farce and Gerard Depardieu in The Closet. But first out of the gate, from the makers of the musical Janine and the Perfect Guy, two queer Frenchmen who co-write, co-edit, and cohabitate, comes The Adventures of Felix.
Hello, my name is Jacques Martineau.
Hello, my name is Olivier Ducastel.
And we are the writers and directors of Adventures of Felix.
Felix is a guy around 30 who lives in the north of France, and he find the identity of his father, and he decided to make a trip to Marseille, and his project is just meeting his father. He doesn't really know why, but he wanted to do that. And the film is about the trip and the fact that he meet people during his trip, and his point of view on this project changes through the meetings and during the trip. It was more building your own family, your relationship with friends, and then finding the father. His idea is that if he met his father, it will be something important for him, because you can imagine that if you are around 30 and you never met your father, you sometimes think about it, or maybe often you think about it. And in fact, what we wanted to tell, but sometimes the important things for you, it's what your life is more important than what it could have been. So it was very important for us that he met people and he built a kind of family through these meetings, and also that he find at the end of the trip that the most important thing for him maybe is his relationship with his boyfriend, more important than a father that he never met and who probably is not interested in meeting him at all.
So what's the backstory on their own relationship? According to Jacques...
I wrote the first script, Jeanne and the Perfect Guy, and I didn't know Olivier at that time. And I was working on the score with a composer, but we didn't know exactly the technical process to do a musical. So we were wondering if we were not doing some big mistakes in the writing of the music at that time. And the wife of the composer is an editor, and she knew Olivier. And Olivier was the assistant editor of Jacques Demy, very important French director who made musicals. So we knew that Olivier was one of the few persons in France who knew how to make a musical, I mean, technically. So the wife of the composer organized a lunch to speak about how to do a musical. And, well, we met and...
Had a date,
I had an affair, and after a few months...
Weeks, you can say.
No, I would say 2 months or something like that. It's a long time.
So it's a few weeks.
Olivier proposed to me to do the movie together.
According to Jacques Martineau, it may be easier in France than the U.S. to raise money for a gay independent film.
People are not so afraid by gay characters. It's not easy. I mean, you really have to convince people. Which is weird is that you have to convince them that it's not a gay movie. It's not only for a gay audience, but it's for everybody, you know. it's always something, some kind of a small lie, but it's not a problem.
And it's kind of... fashion to speak about gay. I mean, there were a lot of discussion and around gays in the past years because there were a partnership was voted in France last year or 2 years ago, and it's not only for gay people, but it works both for heterosexual or gay couples, and so we never speak as much about this theme on television. There were always, talk shows about how is it to be gay and how is it to have a partner and is it fair that gay people can have a partnership or not. And so, in a way, the movie, even if it's not the subject of the movie at all, people who had money consider that they had also to help to promote or something like that, the image of gay in France through the cinema. So it was the good time. And there's more than few French movies produced last year or 2 years ago with gay characters, and some from young directors, but also in film made by older directors. And even in mainstream movies, there were gay characters in the past years. There always be gay characters in French cinema, in comedies or things like that, but it's not something who frightens too much the money people, except if it's too sexual.
But
it's the same for heterosexual.
Well, I think yes, and everywhere in the world. The idea is also to make some gay movies which are not about homosexuality. I'm not sure if it's clear, but just to promote movies with gay character, and not only on gay topics. A film like that is some kind of a huge come out, because it doesn't speak about come out, but he shows gay people on huge screens and on posters in cities and on TV, and it's just to say, we're here, get used to it, and we are part of your life.
And I think we are very confident in the power of images, and if you show a couple in everyday life in a movie and they are happy to be together and they are happy to meet after a few days of separation, and it may help people to understand that gay had the same feelings that they have, and it was also part of the project.
But these co-writers, co-directors, still believe that their very queerness brings something special to the mix.
It's not a biological fact, it's just a social one, because we are part of the minorities. So the way we look at the society is of course different. Even if we do movies without any gay topics, I mean, it will be always different.
This has been a conversation with Olivier Ducastel and Jacques Martineau. Adventures of Felix is a Windstar Cinema release. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out, the Gay and Lesbian International News Magazine.
Thank you.
That was without cue cards, people.
A women's music favorite releases her eighth CD. A country folk fan puts a gay spin on tunes from the 70s, and a lyrical storyteller sings about the City of Angels. They're this month's new words and music from The Audiophile.
From the mist you call to me, Avalon, just beyond where I can see.
When I recorded Avalon, it was my intention to reach an audience or a community of listeners who is anxious to have life-affirming and woman-loving music to listen to.
Prolific singer, songwriter, and activist Margie Adam is back with her eighth album entitled Avalon. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Avalon includes a tribute to Carole King, the first time Margie Adam has recorded a song other than her own.
Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight the light of love is in your eyes. But will you love me tomorrow?
Of all my influences, Carole King is the most significant. And that's because her voice and her album, Tapestry, created a context for me as a young feminist lesbian songwriter to imagine myself not only writing music, but also singing it.
Find out more about Margie Adam and Avalon at www.margieadam.com. That's MARGIEADAM.com.
Cam Clark's CD, Inside Out, brings singer-songwriter music of the 70s out of the closet.
I guess I would describe the style of my CD as kind of a folk country feel, kind of a retro early 70s kind of a thing. James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, Carly Simon, that kind of a groove.
There's something in the way it moves, or looks my way, or calls my name. That seems to me troubled world behind. And if I'm feeling down or blue, or troubled by some foolish game, he always seems to make me change my mind.
I find it's very important for me to be out, hence the title of my record, my CD, Inside Out. It's important for me because I need people to know that I'm not afraid of who I am on the inside or the outside. And it's a part of me that ain't going away.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son. When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking through the backyard window walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was.
find out more about Cam Clark's CD Inside Out at www.lmlmusic.com.
Singer, songwriter, and storyteller Mark Islam is back with his new CD called The Fine Print. Each song on this disc is a musical portrait of a different inhabitant of the city of Los Angeles.
She's on top of the charts, in heavy rotation, won every award, every major nomination, her overnight success took 10 years to achieve. Not long ago, she couldn't get arrested. Now the honor of her presence is requested by senators, prime ministers, by royalty and sheiks.
I love L.A. I think L.A. is just one of the most remarkable cities on the planet. And there's a story around every single corner. The person sitting next to you at your Starbucks has a story.
Islam created this musically rich album by blending the talents of specially selected individual musicians, including Jennifer Warnes.
I've been familiar with her work and the stuff that she's done for other people like Leonard Cohen, and there's something about the prosody of that lyric that evokes Leonard Cohen, and so I called her up. We had a couple get-acquainted conversations, and she came down to the studio.
While the demons you think you're outpacing still lurking around neath your bed, and the waters you're barely treading are rising above your sweet head.
For more information about Mark Islam's The Fine Print, check out his website at www.markislam.com.
And that's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at P.O. Box 429, Sunland, California, 91041, or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiofile.org. Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, Christopher David Trentum, and J.D. Doyle. This is Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Rising above your sweet head.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Donald Herman, Graham Underhill, Chris Ambage, Jason Lynn, Brian Nunes, Rex Walkner, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Jimmy Somerville performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through designated contributions by Uncommon Cloud Visa cardholders who've chosen This Way Out and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For an urgent message about This Way Out's critical financial situation, please visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KOMY Monterey, California, WORT Madison, Wisconsin, MGR Malmo, Sweden, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody, stay tuned.